Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. Just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Welcome to the Lousy Wrestling Podcast, the shittiest wrestling podcast in America, only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
One of the cell lowering down music.
The holy shit, what is that noise? Do you hear that noise?
Yeah, the zzz.
Yeah, what is that noise?
I don't know. Fix it.
What is that noise? Is it your mic? Is it my mic? Is neither of those mics. Is these cords? What cord is it? Is it this cord? No, those are all turned down.
Is it this cord?
Okay, yeah. Okay, you're not.
Was it this one?
Yeah.
It was mine, I guess.
So, a microphone cord gave us the Hell in a Cell lowering music on its own. It was like...
because I wanted to play what the fuck I wanted to listen
it was
to.
Like, it was like, dude. So
I just figured it was fitting for Hell in a Cell rather than Charlotte's music.
Charlotte's music is what I want.
All right, well, we can do that.
She won the women's championship tonight. It's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What is it, episode 15?
15.
I'm Sean.
I'm Derek.
I'm drunk.
You're always drunk. At least you're not blowing your nose.
Am I always drunk? Yeah, I was going to say, last week I was blowing my nose the entire time. I woke up. All right. Okay. So I'm subscribed to all of our podcasts. And yes. Last night I went to bed. I turned on a podcast, and so I clicked on it in my iTunes podcast app. Yeah. It just labels like all your unplayed podcasts. It'll have them all on just a giant list, and it'll start just running through them when you click on one.
Yeah.
And I woke up at, I don't know, some stupid ass time, like 7:30 or 6:30.
Is this the same time you wake up every day?
No.
Oh, so you're not possessed?
No.
I figured it's day before Halloween, maybe a possession.
This was just like the middle of the night I wake up, and it was like all I hear is myself going, I'm like, I gotta turn this shit off. This is fucking awful. I don't want to hear myself with a fucking, like, even if it wasn't myself, I'd be like, holy shit, this dude's nose is so stuffy. And then he's blown up. I'd be like, yeah, Derek. And then, like, you hear me come off mic and you hear this, like, kind of like,
just killing the show.
And then, yeah, you're just over there like, and then, yeah, I thought this was pretty cool. It just like watching me just snot everywhere. Like, it was ridiculous. But tonight, I'm drunk.
So it's going to make up for the snot fest.
We've had
the last 2 weeks.
I drank a Mark's Hard Lemonade, a 16-ounce one, because I wanted to buy a 24-ounce one, but they didn't have the 24-ounce one I wanted, so I got a 16-ounce one.
For the same price as the...
And then this is probably... And then I've been drinking... This is so funny.
It looks like a screwdriver.
Okay. It's... Exactly. It's vodka. If I gave this drink to you and Bob that's walking through the room, like no one knows that he's there. If I gave this drink to you, you'd be like, oh, screwdriver. And you drink it and you'd be like, screwdriver, so good. I like screwdrivers. What a good mix vodka and orange juice is. But what you don't know is it's a 99-cent 2-liter of Sunny Delight and vodka. From the gas station as well.
It just has a little bit more tang to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When they're charging you motherfucking like $3 for a half gallon of fucking orange juice, suck my dick. You got 99 cent Sunny D. And people are like, that ain't orange juice. And I'm like, bitch, drink it. Like, tell me it ain't orange juice. Like, tell me Sunny D ain't orange juice. Drink it. I'm angry about this situation.
You're angry at people that are dissing your Sunny
when Sunny I buy it, the cashiers are like, "Oh, that's so smart." Like, shit, you're spending $5 and you got screwdrivers for like 3 days. You know what I mean? And I'm like, hell yeah. But when like my friends see it.
Well, you say like how many days? Like 3 days?
Yeah. So
you
know, I mean,
for you it's like 1 day, right?
Sometimes. It depends on how much I drink. This time it was two. This bottle was 2 days. Well, there's still more in there. I might not finish it by today. This is probably like my fifth Sunny D in vodka. And like you see my glass right here. It's probably like 16-ounce glass maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I'm filling it. Where it's at right now filled, which is about half of the glass.
Close to half.
Is about how much vodka I've been putting in every fucking drink.
So you got a cup of vodka and a splash of some
Yeah.
You're all about the Charlotte.
So we just watched Hell in a Cell. It's Hell in a Cell. Hashtag HIAC. Like, there's been a debate over time.
HIAC?
Well, no. Follow me here. There's been a debate through the sands of time that it's Hell in the Cell or Hell in Us. Okay. Hell in the Cell.
You. Are you following yourself? Don't get yourself lost right now.
But no, is it Hell in the Cell or Hell in a Cell?
A Cell.
It's Hell in a Cell. Hashtag H-I-A-C.
Why even thrown in the?
No. But sure? Back in the day, I'm wondering, I swear, like back in the day, it was called Hell in the Cell.
They did.
I feel like there was definitely times when it was called Hell in the Cell instead of Hell in a Cell.
Yes. Hell in the Cell.
So they get real tricky with the branding for Hell in a Cell nowadays.
I gotcha. Are you just sad that they took out the word the and shortened it? I was just wondering because...
No, you just got to be real specific. It's Hell in a Cell. Don't call it Hell in the Cell.
All right, anymore. I got you. So, Hell in a Cell.
So, we watched Hell in a Cell tonight.
Yeah.
Man, what a terrible day today was. The Indians lost. Sasha Banks lost.
The Browns lost, but that's every week.
The Browns lost? Yeah, that's I forgot about that. Man, like, I was expecting, like, we would come here. We would... start watching the pay-per-view. I got out of work like roughly like 10:30.
And you'd hope we would have a second championship.
And yeah, and then we would win the championship. We could just be like celebrate. And then Sasha Banks would win.
Podcast. That's why you're reminiscing about that July win after we watched the Cavs game.
When and the then Cavs we had won, the fucking and then we watched the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I expected to just, like, celebrate, and here we are, and Sasha had the belt and everything, and no, it's not how we're doing it.
It didn't end the way I thought it was going to be, like I kept telling
Charlotte won.
You called it, even though she took the ass whooping.
And very anticlimactic, too, because the table didn't break.
Yeah.
They wanted to break the table, and then she threw her again to try and break the table. And when she set it up, you heard me call it. I was like, man, she didn't kick the legs down so that the table slanted. Like, the table's standing up. I was like, that's going to be a weird way to land on it. So,
and when she threw her on her the first time, the fucking it actually set the table, actually.
No, it didn't. It stayed the same way.
Oh, I thought it... set it up.
No,
perfect,
just and... gave it a good bounce. Oh. It was just like, no, we are the table. Like, it reminded me of Botchamania. Any rest, like, Botchamania fans out there that have the, like, anytime a table doesn't break, they have this song that goes like, save the table. And then it's like, boom, and the table doesn't break.
I would just show, like, a million Sabu
or
first takes.
JCW calls them the Japanese strong tables or whatever, the Juggalo wrestling. Mm-hmm. Juggalo wrestling, anytime a table doesn't break, it's because it's from Japan. Because they got the stronger, reinforced tables.
That's funny.
So anyway, let's... You want to talk about Hell in a Cell here?
Well, Derek? There's three of them to talk about.
Well, I didn't watch the pre-show, did you?
No. I was talking... You said you want to talk about Hell in a Cell. I thought you were talking about the match. I was like, there's three of them. We can talk about
whichever. What'd you think coming into this pay-per-view?
Like I told you last week.
I am pretty drunk. What did I just say to you? What did you do to the pay-per-view? You just asked me. Anyway.
See, now you're fucking me up. Jesus.
What'd you think of the pay-per-view?
I told you what I thought last week. If they fucking didn't put the women last, I was definitely going to be pissed off. And
that came down to the fucking wire, too. That wasn't even like a joke. Like, okay, Mick Foley announced it, and then he had to like edit it and be like, "Ooh, I didn't."
Because I think he played a little spoiler on accident. Didn't mean to.
What I think is that he fucking said that shit and then. Higher ups were like, that wasn't gonna be the fucking last match, dude. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm having a cough attack instead of sneeze attack. But they were like, I bet you, like, Vince McMahon management came down on Mick Foley, like, dude, that wasn't gonna be the last match. It made him put that update out, and then the fucking update was like. And then I think the update was so negatively received. Like, I mean, they knew that if they put anything except... I'm drunk.
I got you.
If they put anything except Sasha and Charlotte last, they would have had a riot. Like, that would have been like... You know the signs that are always in, like, the old school crowds in, like, the 2005 era? They'd be like, if Cena wins, we riot, or so on and so forth. If there was, like, that would have been, like, if Sasha and Charlotte don't go last, we riot.
I told you last week I would have gave this overall show a D because I've been pissed and would have rioted.
And, like, you're not even in the... like what they call the WWE universe. They're like normal. Like me and you are just getting into the consumption of what they put out every week, you know?
Yeah.
Compared to just match wise pay per view.
Yes, I got you.
So like we're finally getting into like storyline and shit. These people that have been following storylines for like 5 years.
Yeah. I haven't watched wrestling that long now. WrestleMania just started watching again.
Storyline wise, you know.
Yeah. So there's something that, but then the brand split, so it fucking kind of didn't matter anyways because there's new storylines anyway, so it was easy to get back on track.
So let's talk about Hell in a Cell. Not Hell in the Cell, but Hell in a Cell.
All right, let's talk about Roman and Rusev.
What the fuck
first.
Did we just talk about for 10 minutes?
Sasha Banks and Charlotte, if they didn't go last, then people would riot. Jesus, you are waiting. You're blackout drunk, not even going to remember this episode. Have you been calling this fucking episode 16 all night?
Am I even recording? No, I'm trying to get it.
Do we have another Mark's Hard in the building?
The only reason why I even asked you that question was so I could... type in Hell in a Cell 2016 on Wikipedia, but then I started going on a fucking rant about something I didn't even remember 10 minutes later. Fucking classic.
Sean ass.
Yeah, what the hell was the fucking...
First match?
The pre-show.
I think it was Cruiserweights.
It was Cruiserweights, yeah. Cedric.
Which is stupid.
Alexander, Lince, Dorado, Sin Cara, Davided. Tony Nese, Drew Gallick, and Aria Davari.
Pretty much a match we kind of already seen before, I would assume.
I don't...
short 5-10 minute match for them.
It was 10 minutes. 9 minutes and 45 seconds.
Surprisingly. But it was the pre-show. So.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the pre-show. I watched this first match at work in between all the customers and...
Losing gas.
Yeah, we ran out of gas. All these people, persons, places, things, when it comes to my job, are completely fictional. I don't work. So my job ran out of gas, dude. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck am I supposed to say to somebody when I'm at a gas station and I'm out of gas? And I don't even know.
That's like, when you turn into the guy that starts selling the Snicker bars.
You know what's fucked up? Is I felt like an idiot.
You turned into the Boy Scout.
No, no. The low fuel alarm went off. Like, it went off at like 6 o'clock,
and you
7 o'clock.
Tell nobody,
because it goes like, look, the alarm. I'm getting really like, if anybody corporate would hear this, I'd get fired. But the alarm, it'll go off from time to time, like test or so on and so forth.
This was a live drill.
Like, and yeah, so you just go back there, you hit the alarm button, and it shuts off. Well, this time, it just happened to be, like, for real, like, yo, you're getting low on fuel. And I was like, psh, and
shut
I hit
off.
It.
That's funny.
Then at, like, 8:30, it went off again, and I shut it off. And
when
then
you start thinking, oh shit, it went off twice in one day. How drunk was you going to work?
I wasn't drunk when I went into work. Shit.
Just leaving work. All right.
I wasn't drunk when I was leaving work. Fuck.
I figured
you wasn't drunk any period between before work from after 10:30. I didn't start getting drunk till like almost 11. Because all these people, persons, places, and things are completely fictional. So,
that's awesome.
Dude, I'm like standing there and like, I look out the like window where my register is. Like I'm looking at the computer to my left. Like, here's the window and I'm looking outside. And I see like three people on pumps and they're all like filling up. And this one guy comes in and he's like, man, the gas is going really slow. Are you like out? And I was like, no.
No, I've only shut the alarm off twice.
I was like, why would I be out? Oh, that's hilarious. And he went back outside, and the next thing I know, like, three people come in, like,
you said it was like herd of zombies.
Yeah, they just like all come in, like, like ripping at the door to rip it open to get in first.
And you're like Call of Duty,
and they're like, the yeah, and they're like, something's wrong with their pumps, like all three of them in a row. Something's wrong with your pumps. I'm like, I think I fucking got it from the first person in my face.
Yes,
that there's something awesome. Wrong with the pumps.
That's funny.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we are out of gas. I gotta call maintenance. I mean, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I'm here alone. Like, shit, I don't fucking know.
Did someone tell you eat a Snickers, be yourself?
The one lady was like, you're my place to get gas. I don't know what to tell you.
She guilt tripped you to fucking give her some gas.
I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, it's kind of fucked up, though, because by the end of it, like, by, like, 10 o'clock, I was like, well, maybe the premium tanks aren't empty. So, like, one person was like, oh, God, I'm almost out. I'm not even going to make it home if you don't sell me gas. You're really out of gas? I'm not even going to make it home. I don't even know. Like, and she's, like, a normal lady with a nice car and, like, getting groceries and shit. It's like, bitch, you're such a liar. But anyway, she's like, I'm not even going to make it home. I was like, I don't know, try 89 or something. Like, try a higher grade. Try the premium or try the 93. Try the premium.
She did like, that and got gas.
She tried premium and boom, yeah, she got gas just fine. So it made me like, I was like, damn, I've been telling people for 35 minutes. They're like, sorry, we ain't got gas. I can't give you gas. It's not like I could just go
you
run out
sold
there and
the
bag
premium.
Up every pump. I could have been selling premium. I could have been like, sorry, you saw $1.89 on the sign, so that's why you stopped by. But I got to sell you gas at $2.13 because you're getting 89, bitch, or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's fucked
that's
up.
Funny. All right. That's hilarious. And then you came home for this.
For the pay-per-view. Yeah. So the first match was a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
And this was Rusev and Roman. Better than I expected. What do you say?
I didn't bring my notes, but I recall writing down...
I was about to say, do you remember?
Yeah, I recall writing down, great way to start off the pay-per-view.
They spent especially, the majority of the opening of the match outside the ring.
I thought it was a great way to open up because was a way of to work it. The World Series in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a great way to start off the pay-per-view.
So they were outside the ring for a lot of it. They worked on the side by the ramp, worked by the front side.
That's
they
when
did
I
that,
noticed the ring was not
they,
as wide.
They did that drive-by spot we were talking about earlier when Michael Cole said Roman did a drive-by to Reigns when actually Roman was going for the spot and Reigns hit him in the middle
no,
of Ra- it.
No, Reigns like, didn't hit him. Okay. Rusev hit him. All right, Michael Cole.
funny, right, I just Cole. Fucking said
you,
it.
You just pulled your own Michael Cole.
Oh,
you should have done quote-unquote.
Oh, holy shit. That's hilarious.
Hilarious. Good name.
That's hilarious. So
I didn't find the match funny, but
so then after like they spent like I want to say almost 10 minutes of the 22-minute match on the outside at the beginning.
Oh, I would definitely agree.
And then
well, it was a little back and forth inside outside, but they did spend majority of the time outside. I can agree with.
I was about to say, I don't have my notes either. I must have left them at work. I must have...
At this fictional place.
At my fictional place, I just left them wrapped up in the paperwork.
She's going to be like, who's Rusev? Who's Roman Reigns? What are these notes, boy?
Like, going through random fucking...
You're going to get scolded like a redheaded stepchild. That's so fucked up.
Wrestling notes on all these receipts. that's fucking hilarious. Funny. That's anyway, fucking funny. Yeah, I was about to say, that's what nobody even knows what we're talking about there. But anyway...
that's great.
I'm trying to think of what the spot was.
What the...
Holy shit.
The one he did the accolade on the steel steps or...
Way before that. They did an accolade and then he finally wrestled
out of the accolade.
Are you talking about the kendo?
The kendo stick spot?
We're past that. So he gets him in the accolade and then he works out of the accolade and then somehow he gets him fucking...
On his shoulders?
And then
he does a punch.
I'm trying to remember the fucking spot went. I wish I did have my notes. This is my snotes.
Your snotes.
This is the part Chris Clem talks about when he says, like, I just listen to you guys go, oh, I wish I could remember. What was that thing we were just talking about?
That's
was so that,
hilarious.
Was that note? Fuck, I wrote it down. It was a cool spot.
Are you, are you talking about when they first went for the accolade without the thing?
Without
and
the chain.
Roman picked him up on his shoulders and he kind of like looked like he was going to give him like the go to sleep or something. Or the
after that.
Not that. The,
so he wrestles out underneath the accolade.
Yeah, and I thought he got him on
and
the shoulders.
Then,
and does
no,
like,
he hits like a fucking...
I thought
man.
He was gonna hit like the electric chair move, like the big back body drop, and he flipped him up in front and hit him with a punch, I thought. Like an uppercut. That's what I thought he did.
That happened, I believe.
Are you talking about a spot after
that? That's not what I'm talking about. Damn, man. I wish I could remember. Anyway.
That's horrible.
I'm just gonna edit that part out.
I'm just trying to think of it.
Edit everything out. 23:56. I'm just going to edit like the best.
I'm just trying to
out.
Recall all the good spots that I recall.
There was a part where they did a little switchity switchity whoopity whoopity whoppity whoppity. All right.
That's what you like to call your
and
little.
And then, yeah, and then that's when Homeboy went outside and he got the chain.
Okay.
And pulled it out. And then went right back in and put him in the accolade again with the chain.
Yeah, if you're talking about the first spot before, he kind of crawls out. He puts him in the accolade, but Roman crawls out. This one
he crawls out the underneath of it.
Yeah, and this is when they first go for the first spot on the steel steps. And he goes, ducks out and gets him. And I thought he was going to go for the electric chair back body drop. Instead, he tosses him forward and hits him with an uppercut. I'm 100% sure that's the spot you're talking about. Because that was a sweet spot that I wrote down on my notes that I recall.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And you're trying to say this didn't happen as before. I can only recall two major spots that happened with the chair and Rusev and the accolade position, and those the only two I can recall that
I just
spot,
don't
and then
remember
the,
it. I had it all written down. Face. But I don't have it. I don't remember it. The only thing I remember was the chain of the face.
Yeah.
That he sweet. Put him up on the stairs. And he did the chain of the face there. He lost grip on the chain for a minute. But the accolade.
I like how he whipped him with the chain a couple of times. That was pretty sweet.
It's a motherfucking Cobra clutch.
Yeah.
And then Roman. This is what kind of pissed me off about it because.
He was so close to him on the steps with the spear, I thought.
It was such a buildup that Roman was getting like his ass beat that match. And then all of a sudden he just fucking wins out of nowhere with a little spear.
Yeah,
like, fuck,
I called it a baby spear is what I wrote down.
He kicks out of so much shit. And then Rusev fucking gets put down by the littlest fucking stupid spear.
I called it the baby spear, no joke. Because I didn't think they were far enough where he was on the steel
but
steps.
But if you don't know what we're talking about, so he gets out of that. They have Roman Reigns in an accolade on the steel, on top of a set of steel steps in the ring. Roman gets out of it, falls into the corner. Rusev stands up on top of steel steps. Roman runs up the stairs, one step, two step, boom.
He
hits
doesn't
him
even
with the
run
spear.
Up the steps.
Well, he took a step on the step, I think. But so, and then boom, that was the end of the match. And I was almost like, damn, like Roman kicked out of so much shit. And then Rusev fucking gets pinned with that. I thought it was almost a little weak.
I just didn't like the last spot of how close the. That's the only thing I really didn't like about it, but overall the match was really good and great way to kick off the show.
So then we had Bayley versus Dana Brooke.
Correct.
6 minutes and 30 seconds. Bayley won. You told me before the match, oh, it's kind of one of those matches where Bayley gets beat up the whole time. But then when I watched it, I thought it was a lot more back and forth than you suggested.
They played off. Her injuring her arm the entire time.
Yeah,
talking
I mean,
about?
Dude,
I wrote down
anywhere there
Bayley
was
match.
The tape on anywhere there. They played that up tonight. If there was tape on anybody anywhere, they played that up.
Yeah, but there's some wrestlers you can't play it up with.
But I thought that was a lot more back and forth. Bayley got a lot more offense than you mentioned.
No,
out.
I didn't say it was one.
Bayley
sided.
Had
I said
a lot
she
of
took
offense.
A beating for the most part.
Bayley had a lot of offense. Bayley looked good. Bayley looked fired up.
You're just not biased about Bayley. You have an autographed picture in the corner, so listen to you over here rave.
Dana was, she was everywhere she needed to be when time needed it to be. But at the same time, she still looks a little like gymnast wrestling. Like when I was looking at it, it kind of reminded me of like, the Michelle McCool, Alicia Fox, mm-hmm. 2011. And, like, Bayley didn't look like that. Like, Bayley fucking, like, no matter, like, Bayley makes, can make shit look like it's the fight of the fucking century.
And why she's not the champ?
Because that's down the road. You got a heel champion again tonight, we just saw.
No.
You just saw
she's,
we got a heel
that,
champion.
No, I'm saying
you
she's
can put
not that
Bayley
good.
Against that.
She's not that good.
Bayley is that good. Once Bayley's again, one of the best they have.
Autograph picture in the corner.
Bayley and Sasha
You've
Banks.
You've been lawyered.
Bayley and Sasha Banks were one of the best. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. The best match of 2015. Bayley and Sasha Banks,
That's
NXT.
2015. We're 2016 now, bud.
Exactly. So. If she already had one of the best matches of all time last year, she can have great matches in the future. That's why you got a heel champion. That's why you put the belt on Charlotte, which we'll get to later. So Bayley to Belly to Dana, 6 minutes and 30 seconds. What'd you think, Derek?
It's a good match, actually. I thought they worked really well, and Everything looked spot on. There was no fuck ups.
The only thing I didn't like
was there was a point in the match where it kind of felt like the crowd lost.
Like, in the 6 minutes, they had time to lose interest?
It was like in like the first couple minutes because they weren't working as it just started off real slow, I think, and it just lost interest until it built up.
Well, then we got Enzo and Big Cass. Enzo cut one of his classic promos.
Always.
He's back to, like, his Raw promos have been kind of just like Enzo talking. Tonight was like him really fucking digging, which is a smart thing. Save the good promos for the pay-per-views and so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was, like, doing even to the part where he's talking about, we gonna have Andy on the tattooed on the foot. Howdy doing?
Because they're going to call Big Cass Woody.
Big Cass Woody and is Big Cass Woody?
Yeah, he was going to call Big Cass Woody because he's going to have.
What
Andy
was
tattooed
Luke
on.
Gallows? Luke Gallows was called Big Gal.
Big Gal.
And then and Anderson was called Andy.
Yeah.
So yeah, Big Cass was going to be Woody with Andy tattooed on his foot. Howdy doing?
Yeah, they got a good response out of that.
But then they lost.
And then they lost.
In 6 minutes.
I expected that.
What's the name of the move? They didn't do the Boot of Doom, but they did what's the other
Magic
move?
Killer.
So they did the Magic Killer and won. Not a bad match, but like we said, 6 minutes. Like, it's almost like Raw matches for the past two matches.
Correct.
Good Raw matches. 6 minutes, good Raw
matches. You can't
always
say a good Raw match. Some of them suck.
And then that's when we finally had Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Which surprised me. It was in the middle of the card.
They went 23 minutes. All the Hell in a Cell matches, they fucking put at 23 minutes. You know what I mean? Every
Sounds
single
good.
One was 23 minutes. Well, all the same I mean, the first match was 24, the second was 23, last one was 22. You know what I mean?
Pretty much gave them roughly all the same
It's basically
time.
Like, yeah, all of them got the same time. The first one might have went a minute long, you know, yeah. So on and so forth. So, yeah, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins.
After it was over, I thought it was going to be match of the night.
I definitely thought that the women could pull a better match.
I wasn't sure until I saw it.
So what did you think about this spot? Okay, so Kevin Owens gets knocked down. Seth Rollins hits him with the super kick when Kevin Owens on his knees. And then fucking Kevin Owens no-sells it like he's Ultimate Warrior. Just no-sells this shit.
Kick.
Hits the super kick standing up. Fucking Seth Rollins no sells that shit. And Zagiri. And then fucking Kevin Rollins no sells.
Kevin Rollins? You mean Kevin Owens? Jesus.
I'm drunk.
Kevin Rollins? Who the fuck is this new wrestler just walking
Damn.
Down the ring?
I could not do commentary. At least if I'm drunk. Maybe that's when. Because you listen to, like, if you watch Botchamania, they constantly have that commentary where, like,
you would be the guy getting butchered every
day. Yeah, it's just nonstop JBL just being like, Roman is in a feud with Reigns. And if Reigns can get it, then Roman's really got it going good then. Or something, you know what I mean? He's
and
just
that
like,
would be you.
That'd be me. So, Kevin
you
Rollins.
You would be like Michael Cole, calling Reigns and Rusev the same person.
Kevin Rollins.
Kevin Rollins.
But no,
just like
okay.
Survivor Slam.
Survivor Slam. So, Seth Rollins hits
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. It was kind of an Enziguri maneuver. I don't really know what to call it. I was calling it Enziguri. And then, Kevin Owens. I almost said Seth Rollins.
You mean Kevin Owens? Rollins?
Kevin Rollins. Kevin Rollins. Fucking. Kevin Owens backed up and bounced off the ropes and hit a fucking clothesline.
Had his own little miraculous clothesline.
Yeah, exactly. Knocked him out. And I thought that was one of the coolest spots they fucking did.
Well, when it happened, we both agreed that it should have ended at the super kicks.
If you're supposed to be more realistic and be.
Oh, that'd been spot on.
They would have sold that and then did the next spot right after it.
That'd been awesome.
Okay, so you hit the super kick on the knees. He no sells it, stands up, hits a super kick on the standing up, and they both fucking fall.
Yeah, and then you get back up.
Exactly. You count to fucking almost 10, yeah. Stand up, hit the fucking enziguri kick. It would
heighten the match a little bit better.
I mean, you and I aren't wrestlers. We're too out of shape to go get in the ring and do it, and we're not trained.
But I also think it would heighten the match a little bit.
We could definitely... there's some times where I think me and you got way better fucking ideas to fucking put these goddamn matches together.
That's all I thought about that little spot. Like you said,
separate. It's too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you could have separated, heighten the match, the anticipation a little bit more.
It might just be me and you are a little more old school. Like, a lot of these guys nowadays just want to get all that shit out. Yeah. Well, we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this, and we
sometimes,
do this.
Sometimes it's cool where it's like bam, 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 but yeah. That spot right there, dude, it should have been separate. It should have been a super kick, both sell, have your little fucking count, because already when they hit that spot, it was what, probably 10, 12 minutes into it, and they already was beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was pretty
other,
close.
So it was like, you could make it more realistic. So
it was weird when he busted out the fire hydrant from under the ring and then he sprayed the ref. I was like, why the fuck would he spray the ref? What the fuck's the point of spraying the ref? And all of a sudden
they had to have Chris Jericho.
All of a sudden, yeah, the door came open, then he came in, and yeah, Chris Jericho. That was
his way of getting
that was booking I would have never thought about. Unless somebody was like, hey, how are we going to get him in? I would have been like, oh, he just comes out and gets in, or he's just in the whole time, or just so on, so forth. And that was pretty intricate storytelling.
Oh, that
he
was,
accidentally
that was awesome.
Sprays in the referee's face. The
crowd
referee
went nuts
has come
when Jericho
up.
Came out.
Jericho came out. He's putting people on the list.
Dude, like we keep saying, he's more over than the belt and both people in the ring.
And then Jericho was still part of the finish. They just kept beating up on each other. And then they got two chairs set up, old school ECW style.
Oh, dude, you didn't even talk about the powerbomb through the fucking double tables, dude.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that
spot.
That
was fucking brutal.
So there was a table Seth Rollins set up way early in the match outside the ring.
Correct.
And then Kevin Owens, almost said Kevin Rollins.
There you go.
He was outside the ring. He pulled out another table, and then he set it up, leaned through the ropes to the cage. I mean, it was not through the ropes, but at
outside,
the end of the apron.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Outside the ropes.
But the
two legs in the cage.
He had the legs out, and in the cage. So there's a table leaned from the apron, 45-degree angle. To the cage, and then there was a table still standing up on the
floor.
It was
perfect putting a person through the body. It was
table over table.
Putting a person through the body, yeah, no. Putting a person...
yes,
putting
are
a person,
you drunk?
You're rubbing off on me.
That's funny.
I'm getting drunk off the smell from here.
Putting people through the Jesse the Body Ventura.
No, but putting them through the fucking table. It was perfect spot set up.
So,
never seen it.
Yeah, exactly. This is something I hadn't seen with a table spot before.
We have seen Seth Rollins struggle power bombing people.
So yeah, eventually it got to a point where he was picking Kevin Owens up in a power bomb stance, and he didn't get him upright. And Kevin Owens dropped, and he was like almost dangling. Like it was,
dude,
you were like, "Oh, are they going for the Styles Clash?" I'm like, "No, he just missed the powerbomb because Kevin Owens
was
fat."
I was cracking a joke because he looked like he was like, "Fuck it, I can't do it." Like
and Kevin Owens, to his fucking credit, Kevin Owens got fucking centered and crunched that fucking shit up and got all the way up to the top.
He helped him out, definitely.
Seth Rollins got him up and was holding him, and I'm like, holy fuck. Like, Kevin Owens has got to be 250, 60, 70. I mean, maybe even more.
I'd say
I have
about
no
245,
idea.
250 maybe.
Seth Rollins picked him up, ran from the middle of the ring to the fucking ropes and powerbombed him through the fucking top table that was set 45-degree angle, which put him through the second table.
Dude, he destroyed the second table, dude. Mm. It didn't buckle like
they thought
it would.
Yeah, it was a cool spot.
Yeah. And then we can move on to the double chairs because you're trying to kill the best
spot
of the night.
I mean, he was beating them up through there. Jericho was getting involved in all there. But, then they got to the end of the match was the double chairs like old school. That's all I could think was old school ECW. I haven't seen anybody do double chairs like that since then.
We were talking about how bad that spot would hurt.
Yeah, two folding chairs just facing each other. You just slam somebody fucking through it.
Dude, that's a painful spot. No
you powerbombed it through it.
Like we said, your triceps and your fucking elbows.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I
feel like your elbows would take a lot of it, and that's all your funny bones, man.
Your funny bones? It's
your
not funny.
Your funny bones, man.
You fuck up a collarbone
it's
or anything.
El
on that
humerus,
spot.
Man. But that was the finish of the match. He fucking got him on a Jericho interference. Jericho beating him up.
He couldn't unlock the door. Get himself out of the fucking cage after the
match. Yeah, after the match ended, Jericho still had
the Hogan
key.
Moment.
He couldn't get the key unlocked, so he just handed the key to the referee like he was a badass and then went back to doing what he was doing.
Went back in and gave Seth Rollins a code breaker. Shit talked on him.
23 minutes. What do you think, Derek? I was about to say, you thought, like, you and I...
Once that match was over, I was like, this is probably going to be a match of the night.
I knew that Sasha and Charlotte could top it. They
could. I knew they were going to have a good match, but I didn't know they were going to have that kind of match.
If they could, like, I knew they could top it. Would they top it? It was to be seen, but I knew they could.
Oh,
I've seen
I
their fucking matches.
I didn't doubt they could top it.
Yeah, NXT, they had some of the best shit I've ever seen. Some of these with Sasha and Charlotte or Sasha
I just figured
and
they
Bayley
would shit on
and,
them.
Who, the Crown?
No.
Or the agents?
The
or
agents in general. Like we wanted like we wanted Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens last, but instead we already got this. So, you know, let's not hook them up as much as we hook up this match. You know how sometimes those matches go. You go waiting for a good match, anticipating it, and then boom, it's a squash match.
All right. Let's hit... next, we have Brian Kendrick and TJ Perkins. So, through Raw... last week, Brian Kendrick was asking for TJ Perkins to just lay down. Let me win. I need this. I need that title.
Yes.
I need it. Let me win.
And I don't know why he needs it, but that's later too.
Is because he needs recognition. So the way Michael Cole tried to sell it, this is not just me shooting from the hip. This is what Michael Cole said during the match, was that like, Brian Kendrick already had his run almost.
Yeah.
He had his glory days. Now he's almost coming back on his one last thing, and he's not anybody. He's not like remembered like a great or whatever, so he's really fighting for this. He needs that title for recognition.
Yeah, he needs to make a name for himself again.
I thought this was a great match. It was the best match these two have had. Kendrick and Perkins, 10 minutes.
I still think it short giving cruiserweights the time they do, but
well, if
was
you,
a
hold
spot
on.
On match.
If you think about it, they got 10 minutes and Bayley got 6 minutes. Luke Gallows, Enzo got 6 minutes.
Yeah, you could. I get what you're saying, but
so they
still
got the same time as the tag title match, Charlotte and Sheamus.
Yeah, Charlotte Cesaro,
and Sheamus.
That's a fucked up tag team, Charlotte and Sheamus.
Charlotte and Sheamus tag team.
Are they co-intercontinental champs right now?
So then
they have intergender.
It was actually kind of an end that came out of nowhere when Kendrick locked in a submission and just pulled out the win.
Yeah.
So it was like, did TJ Perkins let him win?
That's going to be the question we'll find out tomorrow on Raw.
It didn't seem like it watching.
No. No, from watching it looked like he tapped out because he got him in his hold. Captain's Hook or some shit like that? I'm waiting for you to call it Captain Crunch or some shit. Going you.
So New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus. This thing. New Day, you were talking about how over New Day is. I was talking about how I feel like New Day is fading.
You was doing that, but I think they're going to beat Demolition's record, and you was like, we'll see tonight.
I think New Day is, I feel like, not so much even just about the record stuff or whatever. I just mean period. I think their popularity period is kind of fading. It's getting stale.
You think they plateaued?
It's getting kind of stale. It's been, you know, almost 2 years, I think, since they've been doing this gimmick. And I just, I feel like
438 days.
They're kind of, that's them as tag team champs, so probably give them about a half a year before that, so that they're about 2 years.
Yeah.
And,
roughly as long as most tag teams last, 2-3 years.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's at the point where they're getting a little stale to me. But what are you going to do to them?
Probably have them lose the title.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
That's what they're going to do.
As wrestlers between all of them, what are we going to do with them?
You could easily move Kofi and Xavier Woods in the cruiserweights, don't you think?
Or just move them into a tag team themselves and send Big E single, or...
Why would you do that? I would...
You gotta have the Shawn Michaels of the group, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you make Xavier Woods go heel.
Then have Kofi and Big E...
Still friends.
Keep a tag team.
They might keep the tag team, or you just, you know... I thought that's the way they were going with it when they did the whole Bray Wyatt New Day thing. That's what I actually thought they were doing there. Was going to have Kofi, but instead it turned out to be what I've been saying, Randy Orton, and I don't even know why we're talking about SmackDown now.
So this match...
Oh, because of Sheamus, that's right.
I actually thought the Cesaro-Sheamus New Day match on Raw was better than this match.
I agree. A better match. Although Francesca...
But yeah, I was about to say, at the end of it, me and you were both really getting into it. They... he hit... When Sheamus come, he gets... Fuck. So he gets homeboy Xavier Woods in the big swing. Cesaro does. Mm-hmm. Big swing, so pops him into the sharpshooter. When Big E's about to get in, fucking Sheamus runs up with Francesca, the trombone, and hits Big E with it. Am I correct here?
Correct, yep.
And then that's when Kofi gets into it and hits the Trouble in Paradise.
Because Sheamus missed Sheamus. The attack with Francesca on Kofi, because he tried to hit him, and he did the duck under and did his little...
Trouble in Paradise.
Correct.
Referee catches Trouble in Paradise and disqualifies him for Kofi getting involved, and the New Day... retains the titles for 37 days.
38 days, and it'll be 39 days. Coming Raw.
So what'd you think of this match?
A lot better than I thought was going to happen. I thought it was going to be the squash match of the night. But
like I said, I thought the Raw match this past week was better.
I still agree. I'll agree with that. I think the Raw match was definitely a little bit better and more to it.
So then we had the main event, Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. In Sasha Banks' hometown of Boston, Massachusetts, you had Charlotte come out on being carried by Roman servants, and you had Sasha come out and escalate through the fucking
You called it, and I was like, she ain't going to come out in a limo, and you're like, boom, limo, bitch.
But it was an escalate. It wasn't a limo. She came out in a truck, but... Yeah. It wasn't no stretch, no, just a truck. Escalade.
All right.
But Escalades are big.
I was more worried about her going through the sunroof after she was on
the top. Yeah, she came through the moonroof, yep.
The moonroof, the sunroof, sir.
And then, so you had Charlotte versus Sasha. They both had big entrances. And then
it reminded me of WrestleMania entrances.
And then they were doing this thing where they introduced them, and me and you were both sitting there going, why isn't the cage down? Why isn't the cage down? And they started lowering the cage. They're like, boom, boom, boom,
boom. It kind of sounded like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music.
So the cage was lowered. And then me and you were both going, like, why didn't they just lower the cage beforehand?
Yeah, they had everyone else.
And then Charlotte hit Sasha, and we were like, oh, yeah.
Good way to start off the match. To get them outside.
And then, yeah, exactly. Then they kind of went to... This was kind of the... I was about to say this was their ode to the Mick Foley match, was they... worked outside. They threw out in the crowd. None of this is from the McFoley match.
But
there's a couple things here. They and then they worked back into the, you know, inside the barricade.
Yeah.
Charlotte started climbing. Sasha started climbing. Charlotte came down.
Yeah, we thought they were going through the table.
Sasha started to come down, and as she's coming down, Charlotte got underneath her, grabbed her for a powerbomb, and she fucking whipped Sasha harder than I seen anybody whipped.
I wish Joey Styles was working for this moment, like, just for that moment.
Like,
that was
like, I mean, obviously, you were talking about before the match, and I was like, nah, they can go through tables. And you're like, dude, Sasha's 100 pounds. Like, and I'm like, dude, she can go through a table. Don't worry.
You've seen she got broken.
Charlotte had to really throw some force.
It looked
painful.
Throw
through a table. And then they did the whole spot where Sasha couldn't really get up. They tried to put her on the stretcher.
This is homage to Foley, right?
She went through the table. Like Mick Foley did, and then got on the stretcher, and then fought off the stretcher, and then got back in the ring. So yeah, that's what I mean. They set up the opening a lot like that Mick Foley match.
Yeah, because they definitely did play off of they're going to go to the top. Holy shit! Because you even seen the
and
fucking
then they
foot
had,
holes in the
net. And then they had 15 minutes of a great match.
Amazing.
I would have called it 5 stars if Sasha won. I don't understand the booking and having Charlotte win. I really don't.
Maybe she got injured again.
I really don't. You have Charlotte win, and then you have Sasha win it, then you have Charlotte win, then you have Sasha win it back, then you have Charlotte win. Like, what's the fucking point? Why are we going back and forth, back and forth?
That's all they have. That are really good wrestlers. Think about it.
A lot of crazy spots. So there was a spot where she did the slingshot to Sasha. Charlotte did slingshot to Sasha on the outside when she hit the cage and then came down and landed on her fucking powerbombed herself right
on her neck. Cage bomb, I called it.
I didn't take any notes of this match because I was just trying to watch and breathe it in.
It was a lot of Sasha getting her ass kicked. That's why I was like, oh, she's going to win it by that.
But at the same time, there really wasn't because, she beat Charlotte's ass for a lot of stuff, too.
Think about it, though. Like, the first 6-7 minutes, it was just Sasha taking an ass.
Neither one of them could break tables, though. She tried to kick Charlotte onto that one table on the outside. And, yeah, it didn't break. It just landed slanted.
They're not that strong. You would need Nia Jax to make it believable.
And then the end of the match, she could have put her through a table.
I think you are more worried about the wedgie and her ass.
Yes, that is true.
You almost had the vagina shot, even.
If you want to know how perverted I am, I was almost like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know, even though Charlotte won, maybe I could call it a 5-star match just for
Sasha's ass.
Sasha's ass when Charlotte pulled her fucking tights up into that wedgie, because that shit was like, they gave you like a bunch of good camera angles for the last minute.
You're right. You're like bait material for later tonight.
Yeah, I was like, I need to buy WWE Network for that 1 minute of material.
I will pause it on one shot. I just need $9.99 for one frame only.
And I'm not trying to objectify women.
Here we go with your Donald Trumpness.
Or nothing. I'm not going to just walk up and grab Sasha by the pussy or nothing.
Well, you're drunk, so you might.
I'm a fan of Sasha Banks. I think she's hot. I love her butt, too. So when she got her wedgie, and I was like, damn. I was like, look at that butt. I've always loved her butt. And I was like, damn. Sasha Banks' butt. She's got one of those good, like, up high, firm butts.
Your favorite kind of butt?
Yeah. I mean, I like all butts. Don't get me wrong. I don't give a fuck if it's flat like a carpenter's board. I just, like, smack it around like it's a bongo, or if it's, like, really fucking big and gigantic and I just bury myself inside of it. Either one. I like all butts. I don't fucking care from one side or the other. So yeah, that definitely, like, I was like back and forth on giving a 5-star match for that, but I can't give it a 5-star match for that because that would be degrading and that would be sexist, and I'm not that type of guy.
I gave it a 5-star not because of that.
Not because of that, just because you think it's a good match.
It was
I call it 4.5. I think you should have booked Charlotte winning. I mean,
there you Sasha go. Charlotte winning. Yeah. Perfect.
Sasha Banks winning in her hometown.
Yeah. That's
everything
they
else kind of about the match was fucking amazing. No reason for Sasha to win.
Like we were talking about,
I mean, Sasha
tradition.
To lose.
They kind of broke away from their tradition of always letting the hometown hero win. Because think about it back in the past, like if people were in their hometown.
No, they don't let hometown. WWE, though, doesn't. WWE always traditionally has booked the hometown person to lose.
Not always.
Traditionally, like, get on the internet and check it out. Traditionally, like, I don't have stats in front of me, but, like, they get in Toronto, Edge loses. They get in fucking wherever, Homeboy loses. They get...
British Bulldog winning in Wembley. Shawn Michaels
winning
in his hometown.
There is
exceptions. I can go on with a list of
there
people.
Is exceptions.
No, I'm not saying every match, but there's a good percentage of matches where most time, baby.
But they don't. A lot, they fucking have the hometown person lose. It's an old WWE booking technique.
They try.
I'm about to say Google it later, Derek.
I'll look it up later.
Because trust me, it's like a weird WWE thing where they
it's
go.
It's their fetish.
Yeah. So overall, Hell in a Cell, give me a rating. What do you think?
I'm giving it an A. First pay per view I watched in a while that's getting an A.
First one with an A.
First one with an A. I thought it was really good. Great way to end it with the females. And they tore it down, and that's match of the night for me, I thought.
I'm back and forth between B+ and A-. There's a couple things. Like, you could interchange, like, fucking three of the matches on the show, and nobody would ever know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
So, you know, here's what I gotta say. When we were looking at this with the name Hell in a Cell, like, I hate the whole idea, like, you have a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, so you have to have Hell in a Cell matches. Like, I think you should have a storyline that builds to, oh fuck, we have to finally fight in Hell in a Cell. It shouldn't be
kind of like Undertaker, Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker.
Yeah, instead of it being,
I challenge you to the next pay per view, Hell in a Cell, to a Hell in a Cell match.
Instead of exactly
like 3 weeks of preparation.
Instead of it being kind of like the Royal Rumble, where okay, well, it's the Royal Rumble pay per view, so there's a Royal Rumble match. I don't think Hell in a Cell applies to that.
No.
But they definitely gave us three great 20-minute Hell in a Cell matches.
They pulled off the pay-per-view flawlessly, I thought.
They had three great matches that were
they didn't have no
different.
Poop match. Think about it.
All the Hell in a Cell matches were different. Yeah, we were all interested in all the matches, even though we were talking weird things like Nintendo or whatever the fuck we were talking the whole pay-per-view. But they, yeah, exactly. It was definitely a worth watching pay per view.
What they were doing and stuff like that.
It was definitely a worth watching pay per view. I'm A-. I think, you know what, you've convinced me. I'll give it the A-.
I'm giving it an A.
I think if Sasha Banks would have won tonight, I would have given it A+.
No,
don't see the reason.
Only
in her
way
losing.
It would have got an A+ if you had six really, really good matches.
I don't see why you do the title change on Raw just to have her fucking lose it tonight.
I think they're going on with the whole...
What are they
going
to change? Change it back?
Well, they're also trying to play up that Sasha... Not Sasha, but Charlotte never loses at a pay-per-view, too. So, I mean, they're also...
Are they just
going
to fucking change it back at Survivor Series? You know what I mean?
Possibly.
Anyway... You want to take a break real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit about SmackDown and then get out of here?
Sounds good.
All right.
Now recording Chris Clem's Cavs Cast number 50. Chris Clem.
They're playing
Basketball is my favorite sport. Talk about the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the podcast field. LeBron and the Cavs are the king of the world. I like slam dunks, trash talking in the booth. The podcast is funny and it is the truth. Download it now with Aussie Weather Media. Cause it's Chris Clem's Cast available now.
Chris Clem's Cavscast, now a part of Lousy Weather Media. Find it at lousyweathermedia.com or chrisclem.net/podcast. Chris Clem's Cavscast, it's fantastic.
All right, you ready to podcast again?
Sure.
What happened in news this week?
The only thing I looked on the internet,
there wasn't any news. I did see Austin Aries' eye.
That was the only thing I seen, really.
I went to 4-2 Championship Wrestling Federation on Thursday night.
You told me? You told me it wasn't worth spending my $8 after it was a Halloween costume?
Well, it was definitely like the Halloween show, right?
You told me everyone was in costume.
So it almost felt like there was people who were like, I can't make it. I got to do trick or treat or something. So there was like, some of the matches were weird. Like one of the matches was supposed to happen and a guy couldn't make it because he had a knee injury or something. He might actually have a knee injury. I don't know. And then the last match, okay, was supposed to be Animal. You remember Animal, big guy. Mark,
grandkid,
you remember what's up?
Yeah, grandkids take
maybe. Remember Marcus Knight, Spotlight Marcus Knight, correct, who was in that opening match,
correct,
on Mortal Kombat.
Correct.
He was in that, and then Mike Smiley,
your favorite guy.
Yeah. So Mike Smiley, Animal, Marcus Knight. Well, the whole storyline was Animal's not here tonight, and Animal must defend within 30 days. He didn't defend at the last show. So if he doesn't make it here tonight, we're going to have a title match regardless. So it was like, hell yeah, cool. Marcus Knight, Mike Smiley, title match regardless. Well, they started having the title match, which was a great match. Don't get me wrong.
Animal
great
shows
match.
Up.
Animal shows up, right? He comes
walking. What you doing with my belt?
No, not even that.
Damn.
He comes in at like 7:45, 8 o'clock or so, which would have been like right after Trick or Treat. And then it was like if Animal makes it to the back and gets dressed in time and makes it back out here, he can join the match. Well, then
so they made it a triple threat.
The match, Mike Smiley won. Mike Smiley won the belt. Animal didn't make it out. It was like 10 minutes later after he showed up. He apparently didn't know how to get dressed within 10 minutes and couldn't make it back out to the ring. And Mike Smiley won the belt. The coolest thing about it, though, was Mike Smiley won the belt. And he's like, oh, yeah, I won. I'm such a celebrator. And then Marcus Knight, boom, hits him with the code breaker and then walks out like, bitch. And I was stood up like, hell yeah. Even though he's turning heel, it was just cool to fucking see. It was like, yeah, this motherfucker, yeah, do what you want to do, motherfucker. Fuck this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're out for that belt. But no, there were some good matches. Role Model and Justin Dreams, the way they wrestled. No, I can't remember. Them Southern Boys instead of the Bully Bashers was supposed to be the team, but one of the guys was hurt or so on and so forth. So, but they were, like I said, they were in costume because it's Halloween. And Role Model came out as John Cena. And he rapped one of his Role Model hip-hop songs to the John Cena Jack beat. It was kind of cool.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, he's like walking around the ring rapping like, motherfucker, I'm going to beat your ass. That's none of his lyrics. It's not even close to Role Model's lyrics, but it was.
That's the way you're taking it.
And then the match was about 10, 11 minutes or so. So good match, good tag match. The finish came when Role Model got like tied up with the referee, and the referee got like spilled the outside, and then the referee's like down with the valet of the way, and Role Model grabs a platter, rolls in the ring, boom, platterizes the motherfucker.
Was it your platter this time?
It was not my platter.
you're constantly...
I did not get a platter this time. I have my platters over here on the shelf, as you can see. I keep my platter in pristine condition. I wipe, I shine it every day.
Well, I feel bad if you're shining it. You're just going to make it into a normal platter pretty
so,
soon.
Then
I cook my turkey on it in a week or two.
So he platterized someone, and then I'm standing in the crowd going, referee, are you blind? Come on. Because I was a little drunk. And
worse than?
Now? Close. They had $2 Washington Apple shots at the Vortex. I was like, $2 shots? And I said, Washington Apple? Let me get one.
Hook me up.
And then she made me wash an apple, and that shit was strong. I fucking took it back, and I still had like this much in the cup that I had
like
to take.
Another.
Yeah, I was close. I was like, I gotta stop there because I had already, drank. I drank like a fucking Mike's Hard Lemonade or whatever before we left, and I drank two beers basically before the show started.
No Sailor Jerry wrong.
And then, no, I'm not all trying right. to cry on anybody's front porch or delete anybody.
You might have been in the wrestling ring.
I would have turned into broken Matt Hardy,
broken Sean Ass.
If I drank Sailor Jerry, but no, so I drank like two beers before the show even started, then I drank another beer and I washed an apple shot. So I was pretty drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Pretty good wrestling, though. Not bad. Like I said, it was definitely... here's a good funny part. You'll like this. Like 5 minutes in the show, none of the microphones are working. The music's awry. Everything's just fucked. They're about to start...
Doesn't sound like a New Jack's
match. They're about to start the first match, and... Mark St. James, who was running sound at this show, I guess, come running up to me, and he's just like, Sean, I need your help. And like I just told you, I drank a Mike's Hard Lemonade and then drank two beers. So I was already buzzed pretty fucking good.
And you are now running.
And then I was just like, I don't know what to do, but okay. So I just run up there, and then I start looking at his stuff, and I'm like, okay, and I'm like plugging in this little thing and that little thing, and I'm making a little noise, and then Mark St. James looks behind the mixer, and he's like, oh, I got a AV input here, all right, and then he's like, give me the cables, so I give him the cables, he plugs it in, I fucking cancel some stuff on his desktop, start playing a music folder, and Sabu's music comes on. And fucking apparently the first guy was Sabu, yeah. So I was like, oh shit, the music's working. And then fucking I was just like, you got everything? And he's like, yeah. And I just walked away. And then like all these people, like, so I literally did nothing. I walked behind the booth and just stood there and gave fucking Mark St. James a cord. And then walked away. And then there's like people going like, thanks, man. Thanks, bro. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Thanks. I had like four or five like thanks, man. So on my way back to the seats. And I was like.
So you became a part of the show as well.
Yeah, saying. I was literally.
You got
a little bit 5 minutes of fame. Yeah. I literally did fucking nothing. And then I was like thanked for bringing the sound to the show.
Right now you have been cutting your promo.
I could have, as soon as I got behind the sound booth, I'd be like, oh, this microphone's working. And let me tell you something.
You know what I'm saying? You lost your chance. You could have been like, boom, hired. $10 a day.
It was nice to hang out with Joe Flock. He came out. I felt bad, kind of, though, because the past couple SCWF shows I've gone to have been so good. And this one, like, it was missing everybody. There was no copycat Chet Lassiter. There was
So you took Joe to a show you didn't want to take him to. So it was a bad date.
I didn't realize.
He was like, yeah, kinda.
There was good matches as it went on, but it was also like, it was one of the shorter ones, and it was, you could almost feel it. It was a lot more of like a family Halloween kind of celebration.
Joe was like, what the fuck, you
friends
bring
me and family
to?
Thing. Like,
I will strangle you if you bring me to one of these.
Like
again.
The one wrestler, Die Hard, his grandma and stuff, who had just survived from breast cancer. Or I mean, his mom and his grandma, I think, were there. I'm not sure. But they were sitting right in front of us, and then a little kid there, everybody kept high-fiving. And then it was kind of funny because I was, like, yelling so much, just, like, booing and yelling. The little kid started getting into it, too, like, yelling, like, stuff that I was yelling, kind of. And it was kind of funny because I was like,
a drunk guy encouraging a five-year-old.
Exactly, yeah. I was getting this kid to yell at everybody. Getting this kid to yell at everybody. But yeah, so...
shake your hands at them, boy.
They have another show coming up in December, and I'm actually really stoked on it.
Is it called Dismembered?
No, it's something like Scar Bells or something like that. I'll get back to you.
Scar Balls.
I'll get back to you on what
it's
called.
That's our new one.
Scar Balls, Survivor Slam.
Survivor Slam and Scar Balls.
Yeah. But I had a good time. Don't get me wrong. I had a great time.
Sounds good.
But and then they did the 50-50 raffle, and I didn't win this time.
Were you
there
sad?
Was no, that's me. They didn't really promote it that much, so the 50-50 raffle winnings.
Was all the wrestlers?
No, none of them. It was $8.
So you had won $4.
So no, the winning was eight. So that meant they earned 16 altogether. So I bought 5, Joe Flock bought 5, and that means there was only 6 more tickets sold.
And you still couldn't fucking win. You guys suck.
Still didn't win.
That sucks. You guys had 10 tickets and couldn't even fucking win out of 16. You guys suck.
So what'd you think about SmackDown this week? They had the whole angle with Randy Orton joining the Wyatt family.
I've been calling it for weeks, I think.
What do you think about this? Like, they tried to do this kind of a while ago with, like, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan joining.
Bryan Danielson?
Yeah, as I'd say, holy shit, I went back in time.
Wax on, wax off.
I went back in time.
Danielson, wax on, wax off.
The dragon. But anyway, Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family. Before, and that lasted like 3 weeks.
Well, let's see how long the Orton thing plays out.
Mm.
Who's he in a feud with now? Kane? That's how they got Kane involved. Fuck.
Yeah, it is kind of like, holy shit.
Was this an angle to get at Kane?
It's gone. It's gone way from the point where like 3 weeks ago they were doing the whole him chasing him through the backstage and now they're at the point where he's actually doing Bray Wyatt's bidding and stuff. And then Kane's involved. Yeah. They're really fucking... They're
worst angle they got going on SmackDown, I can say.
I mean, at the
you
same
don't
time,
have to
though,
say it,
it's
I
not like
say
it's bad, though. It's not like the wrestling,
no, the wrestling
or
good
anything
just,
like that yeah. about it is bad. It's just kind of... It's there.
Bray is the new Undertaker. Just say it. I've been trying to have you say it for weeks now.
And but
he's coming out in caskets.
I don't know.
All
I
this
just,
other hoopla.
I almost don't feel like it's as good. I feel
no,
like some Undertaker storylines were better.
Oh, that's way better. I'm just saying they're.
But
trying
maybe
to go that
I'm
way with Bray.
Maybe I'm looking with rose colored goggles because I know some of the Undertaker shit in like 2004, 2005 was pretty bad.
His rolling was shitty. I
no,
did not like American
Dead Man
Bennett.
Walking.
Yeah, hated it. I yeah. like The Undertaker.
What about when DDP was stalking his wife during the invasion and shit?
Horrible.
So, yeah, they did this whole thing this week where Randy Orton basically came out and RKO'd Kane and did Bray Wyatt's bidding while Bray Wyatt was like backed up, about to die, it looked like.
That's what I got from it.
So they're just, what are they going to be, a tag team? They're just going to be
the
top.
The new Wyatts. They get rid of Strowman and add in Orton.
The new Wyatts. Instead of the new Rock and Roll Express or the new Blackjacks, it'll be the new Wyatts.
I mean, you got the new Day, the new Wyatts. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, but you know how they like the word the new.
So, and then the other angle going on SmackDown, they're continuing with Carmella and Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella wrestled Natalya. Not a bad match for.
I wrote down. Looked very sloppy. They looked real slow working.
I think to be honest with you, I almost put it on Natalya. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, Natalya's the best worker. Natalya's the best worker. Natalya's the best worker.
They just both look like crap.
I mean, Natalya.
It was both of them this match.
To me, Ooh. Natalya has been unimpressive for a couple years.
She wrestles like a diva. And, she lost her.
Natalya was like, there's a lot of people who just always keep talking about how she's the best worker, one of the best workers, the best worker, whatever. And don't get me wrong, like, I've seen her have 5-star matches. Her and Charlotte had a 5-star match, probably close to 30. I mean, she can't be that old. Maybe 30, 31, even 32.
She has to be older than me.
At the most. Somewhere around your age, maybe.
Closer, like 35, 36.
But the whole thing was just for Carmella to come out and hit her with a new, instead of the Bella Buster, it's now the Mella Buster. Uh-oh.
I didn't like
They're
it.
Still doing this, Carmella, Nikki Bella. I don't know. I like anything Boring. Nikki Bella's involved with. I like anything Boring. Nikki Bella's involved with, and I like anything Carmella's involved with.
Boring.
I like That's both of them. So if the two of them are still working an angle together, so be it. I like both of them.
Hey, that shit got shut down just as fast as the Heyman-Lesnar segment. Boring.
And then this week they had AJ and Dean Ambrose, right? In the final match.
Yeah. Another 30-minute classic James Ellsworth.
With James Ellsworth on the outside in his own t-shirt.
Killing it.
Shaking
dude.
His hands.
Killing it. He's the new Goldberg.
I didn't have any sound on. What did Alexa Bliss come out and say to Becky? So Becky came out, yeah. And Alexa came out.
Yeah, she was pretty much like, oh, that's my belt, whatnot. And she went in to try to get her little sucker punch in, and Becky actually got the better hand out of that one. And then when they got outside, fucking that's where Alexa took over and slammed her up against the apron and took advantage, and then pretty much said she's the princess of
I just accidentally snapped the hair tie on my microphone stand.
are we playing that new form of
Are we playing that fucking game right now? Or are we recording a podcast? Anyway, yeah,
here you go. What off track.
The tag match was the Hype Bros.
The Hype Bros versus it doesn't
Ascension.
Matter.
Ascension. They had face paint on. Yeah. It was awful.
I did not like it. The only thing I do say about that is what's Mojo's name? Mojo Rawlins?
Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, he has some... Mojo Rawley. Well, he has some pretty stiff shoulder tackles. I give him that. Like,
he had... I want to say he's an old football player, but I have no idea. It was like not NFL, but
they said he
at least
played
college.
With the Packers.
He played NFL?
They say he played with the Packers.
I was about to say, I want to say at least did college. I know Baron Corbin played NFL.
Yeah, his shoulder tackles are pretty brutal looking. He fucks some people up with them, I said. Hate the Hype Bros, but that's...
SmackDown, not a bad show. I still think SmackDown's the better show than Raw. But Raw, I almost think Raw was a little better this week.
I think it was better this week because they did a lot of building up for Hell in a Cell.
But Raw was still bad. It was good this week, but it was still bad this week. Does that make sense in a way?
You just hate the 3-hour
like,
show.
Holy fuck, it's long.
Because you were.
But
you
the
were
first, the first fucking, the first fucking hour was dumb. Like, I mean, the list segment at the beginning was 15 fucking minutes, and it could have been 7.
What are you talking about? That's your favorite shit. It's
yeah, but
anything.
It still could have been 7 minutes. No, Seth Rollins was standing on the fucking rampway talking about nothing.
He's not funny.
Nothing.
Enough. If they had someone who was funny and humorous in the least bit, definitely could have been a lot
they
better.
They jobbed Enzo and Cass out in 1 minute. They had them come out and talk about how they... they came out and the mics got cut out by Anderson and Gallows. And then they...
They won the match.
Got the whole crowd to do everything. Who? Enzo and Cass?
Yeah.
Okay, so they didn't drop out.
No. Enzo won the match.
Curtis Axel lived up to my and this proclamation last week that he was going to be the number one jobber.
Yeah. Why are we talking about Raw? We should be still on SmackDown.
I just want to talk about Curtis Axel. Oh. He came out,
were
cut
you,
the promo about Minneapolis.
School with him?
I was chanting Curtis.
You were chanting jobber. Jobber, don't lie.
As soon as Bo Dallas came out, I was like, man, they're going to job him out 1 minute. Even though he's talking about being from his hometown, his grandfather, Larry the Axe, his father, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. But then he didn't job out. Dude, like, he lost, but he had a good match. He hit that perfect plex.
I think you said that's how they were going to move Bo away from Curtis. I think that was a way of them moving.
Bo Dallas still won.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still saying. I think it was just another way to move Curtis.
He won this week. We'll have to see how it plays out. If the crowd's still fucking lackluster with Bo Dallas and then start actually getting behind Curtis Axel, then, yeah, it worked that way.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it wasn't. You gotta think that was nothing for Curtis Axel. That wasn't for Curtis Axel to get over.
Oh, no, not at all. They're still trying to push Bo, but
that was not for Axel to get over for show.
Not at all. I'm just saying, I think he'll get more over than Bo Dallas.
So is there any news stories this week, really? We're still kind of waiting for the TNA hearing stuff.
I did see the Headbangers say they were...
Yeah, Headbangers. Me and you were talking about that last week, if they were coming back.
And I seen they tweeted that they would be coming back to be part of a tag team.
Because they're trying
to qualify for the Survivor Series.
Last week, all the stuff you were talking about was the insolvent stuff. All that kind of stuff kind of came out Monday. We were kind of talking about it earlier than it came out.
Yeah.
But that, you know, if they get found insolvent, then Billy takes over and so forth. But we did end up learning Dixie still holds 92% ownership of this shit. And then Fight Network was like, we'll pay Billy Corgan what he loaned. But apparently Billy Corgan wants retribution or some shit.
He wants everything. He wants the company. I tell him throw in a tuna sandwich, he can have
it. Well, okay, so he's owed like...
He don't like tuna, that's why I get it.
He's owed like $980,000 or some shit like that.
Almost $1 million.
Well, he wants like 1.7 or something like that because he wants the double the investment or whatever.
He wants interest and all that shit.
Apparently, however that works.
I seen that in the state of Tennessee, she couldn't just give up her position to him if they were insulted.
I will say, I read an article that the Tennessee judges are kind of looking at it like, why are you bringing this to us? Like, so this might not look in Billy Corgan's favor in the Tennessee courts because they might be looking at it kind of like, this ain't our fault. This ain't our job. It's just staying how it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
In Tennessee, won't we take a tour?
Well, their headquarters are in Nashville, so
like, why? Like,
so this might get wrapped up in appeals for longer than TNA exists. You know what I mean?
Corgan will be owed money for the rest of his life by TNA. $1 donations.
The whole thing's wild. You're gonna see that roster being depleted.
What roster are you talking about? They don't
TNA's.
They don't even have a roster.
They have a lot of people they employ still.
Name one big top superstar they have besides Bobby Lashley.
They got...
You can't even say the Hardys.
Well,
because
I was about to say Hardys.
You can't say the Hardys. I'm talking about...
They have people that can make stars.
What's one big star
who
they
are
have?
TNA stars?
No, what's one star that they could have that could potentially rise for them?
Oh,
zero.
EC3 could be a star in WWE.
No.
Yeah.
I'm talking about TNA.
TNA, EC3 is in TNA.
That's what I'm saying.
He's one of their top guys.
That's what I'm trying to say. Who could step up for them?
They got the belt on Eddie Edwards right now.
Yes, I've seen, which is weird.
Yeah, I was about to say, WWE never put a heavyweight title on Eddie Edwards unless it's an NXT title.
I'm just saying, like, look at their roster. You can't go, none of these guys will
Shark
save
Boy.
Our company. None of those guys will save their company.
Shell, yeah.
None of those guys can save that company.
You got a match of the week this week, Derek?
Yeah, I was kind of debating between the original Hell in a Cell, but then I was like...
Blood, 1997.
But then I was like, since the Sasha Banks match, and I was like, oh, great five-star match, I was like, fuck it, I'm switching it to 94 SummerSlam, Owen Hart, Bret Hart, five-star match.
Blue steel cage, motherfucker.
Yep, old school.
That's probably about like a 35, 40-minute match.
Yep, really good match.
Not even the main event.
Not even the main event.
Main event of that pay-per-view is Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Crazy enough.
Bryan Adams or whatever.
His cousin versus cousin.
So yeah, Undertaker versus Undertaker. But yeah,
his cousin versus cousin is what I call it, dude.
They're not really cousins, are they?
Yeah.
So, or is that like Bruce Beefcake and Hulk Hogan cousins?
No, that's they're just friends, but
yeah, but they say they're cousins.
But Mark Callis and Bryan Adams are legit cousins. Same with they're cousins with Ron and Don Harris.
Not Bryan Adams. Was it Bryan Lee?
Yeah, Bryan Lee. My bad. I said Bryan Adams. Mm. Bryan Lee. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're
so. Cousins. But the match of that pay per view is the which is the rematch of WrestleMania 10.
Correct.
WrestleMania 10 used to be like, I used to rent that shit from video theater like every fucking weekend.
Every Monday. You'd just be like, Mom, Monday.
We're renting the same WrestleMania over and over and over.
That's sad.
And it wasn't really like that, but I do remember that one. I do remember renting WrestleMania 10 quite a bit. That was my, like, when I was young as a kid.
Put it this way, if it had a library card on it with the library sheet, your name would be on it majority
when
of the
time. When I was like 6th or 7th grade, WrestleMania 10 was rented quite a bit. I love the...
How many late payments did you have on that?
I have no idea. I was so young back then. I wasn't paying shit. Mom! Wasn't paying shit. If it was
Sean's
up to me...
5 days again.
If it was up to me, I just would never returned it like I do any of this shit now that I'm an adult. I rent it. I just never returned it. I'm still banned from Redbox or whatever now.
They banned you from Redbox?
Yeah, I'm banned now.
They said
apparently they tried to charge my card and I didn't have enough money in my account. So then instead of just trying to charge me again, they just banned me.
They're like, this card does not work.
So then instead of contacting them, I was just like, fuck it.
Thanks for the game for free.
For $1.60.
How much did you end up paying for?
But now I can't use Redbox. $1.60.
So you got $1.60 Madden, $360 game on top
I got a fucking
lose your Redbox privileges.
I'll call and get that fixed. Yeah, because it's not like I can just sign up another name. It's activated to my credit card or whatever. Yeah, so
you need a new credit card.
I'm gonna sign up for one this week.
A new credit card so you get Redbox.
So I get more Redbox. I'm gonna just get 7 credit cards. So I just get a bunch.
This
of
is my Redbox card. I don't want. What movie
just
do you want?
Get a bunch of Redbox cards.
How many movies are you allowed to rent? Like 3 or 4?
I have no idea. Well, I just had to make more accounts.
You just max out your card. We've rented 5 movies
max
for
on my account
bucks and paid $12 for.
What was the other thing you were going back and forth for a match in the week? You said you didn't know who it was going to be.
I already told you.
Oh, Hell in a Cell or SummerSlam 94.
And I'm going with SummerSlam 94.
SummerSlam 94. Great bits with, what's his name? Liam Neeson from Naked Truth or whatever, Naked Gun or whatever.
Yeah.
He's looking for Undertaker. Wow. I can't believe how much of that I remember. Pretty bad. 1994.
Your favorite time.
So, pretty good podcast today. Good pay-per-view. We gave it an A. How about an A for this podcast? No matter how drunk I am. I know sometimes, like, you were looking at me, and then, like, I was just talking to you. My eyes are just in the back of my head, and I'm just like, and I was talking normal, but I probably looked retarded.
You did. You look like a Down syndrome kid.
But now I'm here. I'm awake, and we made it through. And we didn't take 7.5 hours either.
No, we didn't. It only took us 7.5 hours to watch the pay-per-view.
Only 7.5 hours to watch pay-per-view.
Well, prepare for Survivor Series.
And the Indians did not win the World Series tonight, but let's go for it Tuesday.
Tuesday, possibly.
Tuesday, let's do it.
Might have to talk about on the
while we're on the main show, they'll win.
And if they lose, I'll be blaming you.
And Zagiri, and we're motherfucking out, bitch.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.